Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you're having a lovely day. Joining me once again is my good friend Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money. My Digital Money is a service that allows you to start your own crypto IRA or 401k. Guy, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Zach, how are you doing?
Awesome, man. There's a lot going on in the world of crypto. I've got a couple of specific things that I want to ask you about today. But before we get into that, please tell everybody a little bit more about My Digital Money.
Yeah, so My Digital Money is a self-trading platform. It allows you to invest in crypto, buy and sell crypto in an IRA or in a standard account. But the focus is on ease of use. We have customer service, so you can call. And it's all about long-term, you know, wealth, building long-term wealth, whether it's for retirement or whether it's, you know, to buy your next house. You know, we basically offer something that is rare in this industry, which is human help, where we answer questions about crypto or how to sign up or how to trade or, you know, anything really. And we have military grade security and all that good stuff.
All right. Good stuff. So the idea that you guys have actual people to help, I think, is really important because that has shown itself to be a very frustrating thing with crypto exchanges recently. I mean, you know, you think of some of the biggest crypto exchange failures that have happened out there. And one of the most, you know, agonizing aspects of it is that people don't have access to their money. They don't have access to anyone to explain to them what's going on. And like, you know, think about Mt. Gox. I mean, people's money was just gone and really they had no recourse, you know, and in recent months, we've had the failure of a number of other crypto exchanges, Celsius and Voyager. And just recently, we had another one go down that was called Freeway. Now, I hadn't heard of Freeway before, but they still held tens of millions of dollars of users' money. And I'm just wondering if you know anything about the situation they had over there.
Yeah, so from what I know, it's a staking platform. It purportedly offers around 42% returns, which already is a red flag for me.
That's insane, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that it claimed to have about $160 million in total value locked. Yeah, they just paused withdrawals due to market volatility and foreign you know, foreign market volatility and foreign exchange market volatility. And that's what it says on their website when you go on there. Yeah. And so, yeah, they essentially after that happened, their token went down by about 80%. So a lot of value just wiped out right there. You had a bunch of investors that were more kind of, you know, smaller investors. I think the biggest investor, you know, invested $16,500. But still, you know, it's, it kind of highlights the problem that exists in the industry where, you know, you don't know what they're going to be doing with your, crypto. And, so yeah, that's what we offer, My Digital Money. We actually keep your crypto in a trust, because we do, you know, IRAs, already, you know, we're custodying everything in a trust. And so we do the same for standard accounts. And because we focus on mid to long-term building of wealth, you know, our number one priority is, you know, safeguard your nest egg. So, if you want a more safe way to, or a relatively safe way, you know, it's you want to own your assets, right? You want the assets to be in your name, so we can't legally actually lend it out or do what we want with it, right?
So
it just shows a problem in the industry, and you know, somewhere where maybe regulation can help, right? A little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Well, not having the actual control over your money. I mean, that's something that many people found out with Celsius and Voyager and now Freeway, is that, I mean, they didn't really own their tokens. I mean, the coins were in the exchange, but it's like you essentially hand over control and ownership of these tokens until the moment you want to withdraw it. But then when they say that you can no longer withdraw it, I mean, obviously, you know, whatever the intention was when it started, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, I think another big problem that this highlights is when these exchanges have all of their value wrapped up in their own token, because, you know, when they launch a token and they have, you know, infrastructure and a plan behind it, there's a service people can use, people get into it, of course, the value is going to go up. But once the value goes down, nobody's going to trust Freeway token ever again. And that's going to be essentially junk. And so they're not going to have any operating capital they can use to continue on. You know, even if they have a certain amount of money in Bitcoin, if they go completely insolvent and cash all of that in, then again, there's not going to be any trust there. So, I mean, I feel like we're heading towards another massive bankruptcy. And, you know, like you said, it's the little guys that have their money in here. So they're the ones that are going to feel the burn, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's, you know, not that I'm a big proponent of regulation, but that's, you know, if we are going to have regulation, that's one area where, at least for these centralized, you know, companies, to put some guardrails around how they manage their money and transparency and all of that, to protect investors.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm a big fan of limited government, but I mean, when it comes to money and stuff, you know, I mean, you got to have some protections in place. Otherwise, it's just the wild, wild west. I want to actually switch gears from a small exchange to something that might end up being a much larger exchange. Looks like Fidelity Investments is now getting into the crypto game. Apparently, they've got a bunch of listings for future positions, and they've already begun hiring. What do you know about Fidelity's foray into crypto, and how do you see it as competition to My Digital Money?
Yeah, so you know, I've heard about, you know, Fidelity warming up to crypto for a while. I know that they have a, you know, division that's called the Fidelity Digital Assets Group, and you know, I know they've been discussing. They had an article that came, or a research paper that came out, The Rising Dollar and Bitcoin, and that's where they discussed that, you know, where Bitcoin could be used potentially as portfolio insurance. And how they believe that there's a stark contrast to the path fiat currencies are taking. So they believe of the whole decoupling, and you know how Bitcoin is on its own path, and that's why it could serve as potentially insurance, right? And so you could see all the signs they're warming up to it. They started offering Bitcoin in a 401k, their 401k, and then also they are about to release you know, institutional investment for Ethereum as well. I think that's happening next week or something like that, or if not the end of this week. And so, you know, they're really starting to get more and more into it. And now they just announced, as you were alluding to, that they're going to have about 500 total staff members in the digital assets division, specifically cryptocurrency. And, you know, they also have a bunch of job posts that I saw on their job board, about 74 positions open. So it shows you that a large institution like Fidelity is actually, you know, believes in longevity of crypto and is, you know, making a bet on it. So, you know, while retail investors have been a little bearish, right, you see the institutions are continuing to get into it, right? There's so many other stories other than Fidelity. And in terms of competition, I don't see, you know, much competition right now, because they're focusing more right now on institutional investment. And the retail that they've done is 401k.
Do you mean like when Tesla bought a whole bunch of Bitcoin, stuff like that? Okay.
Yeah. So they're focusing on their institutional clients, but also they have released, you know, Bitcoin for their 401k, you know, retail you know, that affects retail investors. And but we don't do 401 active 401k. What we do is more you know, IRAs, right? So it's, you can roll over an old 401k plan, but it's not, you know, through your active 401k.
Okay. All right. So one of the interesting characters in the crypto space for a long time has been this guy, Craig Wright. He has claimed to be Satoshi Nakamoto, who is the eponymous creator of Bitcoin. Who knows if Satoshi Nakamoto is as a single person or it was a group of people or, you know, I mean, the insinuation is it's supposed to be a Japanese guy based on the name. But, you know, who knows at this point? But Craig Wright says he is Satoshi Nakamoto. And, you know, people tend to go, you know, one way or the other. Either they're really strongly in Craig Wright's camp or they're strongly against the idea that he would have been the creator of Bitcoin. He just lost a lawsuit. He had a couple of different defamation lawsuits against people who claimed that he wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto. And, you know, I guess the impression I get is that if he keeps losing cases, that means that he can't prove that he's Satoshi Nakamoto. Do you have any opinions on Craig Wright?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the industry, from what I know, believes that he's not Satoshi Nakamoto. I think there's a smaller group that might believe it, but you know, he had ample opportunity to prove that he is, just by using the original keys, the Satoshi Nakamoto, you know, keys, and he didn't do that. And, you know, there's been a lot of different, you know, cases where he's lost. There's a defamation, two defamation cases where, like, the latest one he just lost, where the court essentially, stated that the other party had sufficient evidence that he was not Satoshi Nakamoto. So, you know, not only is, you know, the
a human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The community believes he's not, but also the judge ruled that as well. So, yeah, my opinion is that, you know, he's not Satoshi Nakamoto, and he has a lot of motive, you know, to claim that he is. It all has to do with, obviously, his personal gain. And, you know, he's Australian, too. You know, he's an Australian computer scientist. So, you know, why would he call himself Satoshi Nakamoto? I don't know. But, yeah, my opinion is that he's just, it's all charade.
So let's just say maybe he lost his original keys. And I guess that would mean that, you know, essentially he lost all that Bitcoin. Let's just say that it's, you know, been misplaced. Maybe he had a physical wallet and he, like, I don't know, got it wet or something. And it's no longer here. Is there any other way that you can think of that he could prove that he was legitimately Satoshi Nakamoto? I mean, besides maybe the original saved file of the Bitcoin white paper or something?
Yeah, maybe that's what I was going to say. Is that maybe if he shows, you know, the original file or some correspondence that predated the white paper's release, you know, to show that he worked on the white paper, you know, and anything to that effect, any kind of communications on the, you know, source code or something to show that he was working on it. And so, yeah, that's all I can think of, really. But the biggest clue to me lately that came out of this court case, that he's not Satoshi, is his claim that tokens can be moved by court order. And it's true in a very limited sense that the law enforcement can compel suspects to hand over their private keys. But Wright has insisted on, you know, much broader and ancillary claim that a court order can move tokens entirely without private keys. And that's just technically impossible.
Yeah. I can't imagine how that would actually be it. I mean, the mechanism by which the tokens are moved is the usage of the keys. So, like, if they don't have the keys, how are they just going to say, you know, from this account to that account based upon my order?
Yeah. Exactly. So that defeats the whole purpose of Bitcoin, right? And that's that's kind of the beauty of it, right? It's like, imagine traveling the world and you don't have to worry about carrying cash or exchanging your dollar to the local currency. You just need crypto and a wallet.
Well, you know, I was actually, you know, on the note of law enforcement compelling people to reveal keys or to move coins around, I watched this really interesting documentary the other day about a young kid, a high school kid, who was involved in a very complicated, like, blackmail and extortion scheme. And he just, I mean, that was all he did was just extort Bitcoin out of people, like get them to send it to his private wallet. You know, it wasn't connected to his name. It was a whole thing. They had to end up solving the case and figuring it out. But, you know, he did go to prison, but he had to give back a whole bunch of Bitcoin. And I don't know really what the end result was, if they were able to give it to all of the different people that were defrauded or something. But, you know, it's crazy in today's modern world, like how creative criminals can get. I mean, it's a real testament to making sure that the things you do and say online are things that you would be comfortable saying face to face to someone, and that you have really good security on all your accounts.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, even in his case, I mean, I think he would have had to provide the private keys, of course, right?
Yeah. All right. So one more thing. We have a new social media company that apparently is cropping up. This one is called Blue Sky. It's backed by Jack Dorsey. And I read about it in CoinDesk. So I'm assuming that it is based on some type of blockchain foundation. But it's got some interesting features. And I'm wondering if you could explain what the advantages of Blue Sky would be.
Yeah, so essentially it's a decentralized social media platform. And it's basically has the advantages that, you know, any kind of decentralized service would have. You know, one of the main ones in my mind is more of like giving user ownership of their data, right? So being able to have the portability of your social media data into other platforms so then they can all talk to each other. That changes the whole dynamic, you know, that companies have now where they own your data, they monetize it, and they kind of lock you in, you know, and you can't just go to another platform and take all your data with you. And you have to start from scratch, right? And so it's not as valuable to you to go to a new platform. And so, you know, this kind of gives the user more control, you know, because you have that portability. And also the app that they're building on top of this layer, this is like a portable layer. I think they called it the AT layer or something like that. It's like an authenticated transport protocol. So on top of that, they're building this app, the Blue Sky app, which is going to give the user a choice of how they experience the app, right? So they can opt in to certain experiences. So, you know, right now you know, you're shown ads and everything, maybe, you know, according to your behaviors and all that. So maybe you can turn that off or kind of control your experience a little bit more. So this is basically, you know, a platform that's more, kind of flips the whole dynamic of like, you know, what I call surveillance capitalism, where, you know, there's a wall, there's a, your data is kind of behind the walls. So this kind of takes down the walls, right? So that's, you know, I've been talking about the fact that, you know, the one main barrier to adoption is that big use case that caters to the masses, right? That smart contract, making it to the masses, right? And bringing them into crypto, it's one use case away. And I think social media is a good use case, to be that, you know, to be that smartphone, you know, like the internet adoption, you know, went way up once the smartphone came out in 2008, right? So we need that one use case that will kind of make the adoption, you know, skyrocket. And, you know, social media could be that, in my opinion, but
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think people are kind of tired of the current, you know, I guess status quo in social media. You know, it's, when everybody got, you know, it used to be Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and then they started deleting everybody. And then the people who got deleted kind of soured on the whole thing. You know, now we have Rumble and Truth Social. But, you know, all of these new programs are kind of lacking in the way that they deliver information and, you know, just the way that they work and stuff. I mean, all that stuff is going to get sorted out, you know, in the wash. I mean, over time with growing pains and continued development, it should get better. But, you know, the one thing that I think is really interesting about this is with the idea of it being decentralized. So like if there's not like a governing body or like a CEO and a board of directors, then maybe you wouldn't necessarily have that threat of control hanging over your head like you do at Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, because those people are dictating the terms of what the users are allowed to say on those platforms. So maybe if it, you know, I don't know that much about this AT protocol, but I mean, perhaps if it is decentralized and it doesn't have that centralized system of control, then perhaps people will be a little bit freer with what they can say. And then the individual user can just decide what it is they want to see and what they don't want to see.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that Blue Sky itself, I don't know much about the app, but even if that's centralized and, you know, they kind of control user experience, just the fact that the actual data layer is decentralized, that means that any other player can come and build an app. And if you're not happy with the type of control that that Blue Sky has, then maybe now you can go to another app. So that kind of incentivizes these companies to build, you know, an app that the user actually wants, right? Which is less like one that has less control, like less censorship stuff, you know, stuff like that. But I do believe that, you know, we will have an actual application that's fully decentralized at some point. And, you know, what gets censored is very minimal. It's, you know, you can have a community vote on what kind of things get censored. And maybe it's just something like things that are very illegal, mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's not, you know, so subjective, like, oh, we don't like that this guy is, you know, so right wing, so we're just going to take him off, or, you know, whatever. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm pretty interested to see what the final result is. You know, initially, the idea that Jack Dorsey was involved was a little bit unsettling, but I don't know if you saw, but the conversations that he was having with Elon Musk, you know, as they were kind of planning this takeover of Twitter, I don't know, kind of piqued my interest. And I think it showed that maybe Jack Dorsey had his hands tied, in a manner of speaking, with the decisions that Twitter and the board were making as a whole. Like, you know, it was his company. He started it. But he was just, you know, one of a number of big fish that were sitting at the helm. And so he didn't have total control over what was taking place.
Right. Yeah, he didn't. And, you know, that's why I think he's going this other route as well. I mean, he started this out in 2019, started out as a product team, you know, within Twitter, and then, you know, separated into its own thing. And the interesting thing is we had 30,000 signups in 48 hours. So people are interested in it.
Yeah.
I just signed up as well on the wait list. So.
All right. Well, I'll check it out and I'll definitely be following it. All right, Guy, anything else you want to tell the audience before we wrap it up?
No, I'm just excited about the market right now. It's going up in the last day or two, and there's so many great stories out there about institutional adoption. And, you know, I think you also know the UK lawmakers just voted to recognize crypto as a regulated financial instrument.
Nice.
And then you have this other report that came out where you have Facebook, Verizon, Salesforce, PayPal, Visa, Walmart, all these companies utilizing blockchain in some way. So, you know, I'm bullish, and I think people just need to keep that in mind, that institutions are in. So even if retail investors are scared right now because of the macroeconomic environment, keep the long term in mind. I always tell people, right, like, look at the long term signals. They're very bullish. And, you know, even though there's going to be volatility in the short term, long term is the way to go for crypto, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, crypto's here to stay. And if big companies like Fidelity or, you know, any other of those other large corporations you mentioned, if they're getting into crypto, then they know that this is something that they are betting on to make money in the long run. So, you know, and of course, with the market being a little bit depressed, you know, and money just being tight all around, these corporations that have that additional money, they can just kind of sink into it, buy low right now, and then they can keep it for when it's high, they can sell it off. And yeah, they're definitely going to be making money. So it's not something to leave behind. All right, Guy, tell everybody one more time where they can find you.
Yeah, mydigitalmoney.com, or you can call us. Like I said, a real human will pick up. So that's at 833-636-2008. That's 833-MDM-2008. And you could check us out online. Like I said, mydigitalmoney.com. You can sign up for a play money account in just 1 minute and just practice trading if you're not comfortable signing up just yet.
Okay, awesome. Thank you once again, Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money, for joining us. Everyone at home, good luck and God bless. We'll see you tonight.